Hello, everyone. All right, let's take a look here real quick and making sure this is operating okay. I am not getting a preview. Oh, there we go. Okay, perfect. Now it's on. All right, welcome everyone to Spirit of Truth Church for this sermon. Not this sermon, sorry. For this talk on Stockholm Christianity. Do we obey God or do we obey man? And hey, everybody on YouTube. Good to see you guys. I see you there. So this is gonna be an interesting one today, guys. This one, it's gonna hit on a lot of touchy subjects. We'll just say that. And I'm gonna try to discuss some things in terms of my own personal views on these, but also with regard to how I think the Bible would even address some of these issues and how we need to move forward. So the issue at stake here is this. Stockholm Syndrome Christianity has caused Christians to abandon this idea of religious liberty and religious freedom. Because we often think that the attack on religious freedom comes solely from atheists, solely from agnostics, solely from the left, solely from people who want control and want to take over. And unfortunately, it's not true. Unfortunately, it's just as often that Christians are actually the ones who are eroding and destroying religious liberty as well. And religious liberty is absolutely vital in this sense. Without religious liberty, you will have substantial persecution. Now, the beautiful thing is we know from Scripture that when substantial persecution goes forward, the gospel also does. But if we want the privilege, really is what I would almost call it, of practicing our faith, practicing our religion, practicing Christianity, talking about Christianity, talking about morality, if we want the privilege of actually being able to do that, like if we don't want to have to move this all underground, then we cannot abandon religious liberty. Now, let's go ahead and just by way of introduction, a lot of what I'm going to share today from the book is examples of how this is, of how religious liberty is being taken away. Let's take a look at this. Russell Vogt was up for a post in the Office of Management and Budget, and in the federal government, and he was voted, yeah, it was in the federal government, and he was voted down. Okay, so he was up for a position in the Office of Management and Budget, he was voted down. The question is why? He was voted down for, quote, defending the right of a Christian college, Wheaton, which, you know, it's gone downhill substantially, but he was trying to defend the right of Wheaton to hire faculty who embraced its statement of faith. This was considered not okay. He also was voted down for expressing his view as a Christian that Jesus is the only way of salvation, also quote. And this disqualified him from holding a job in the federal government. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Defending religious liberty and stating that Jesus is the only way to salvation, central tenet of Christianity. Oh, now you can't work in the federal government. Now you're unfit for the federal government. You're unfit for a university position. You're unfit for work at this company. The time has come. Oh, shoot, I'll even give you this. When I was in college, the professors held a meeting, and the question was, how can we get all of the Christians out of the biology department? Because they believed that Christians were unfit, because of their belief in creation, to be scientists. This is not just about disagreements over seven-day creation and old Earth or young Earth or, you know, theistic evolution. It's not just about disagreements on morality. It's about people coming together as a group and saying, if you don't think like we think, we will prohibit you from doing business. We will prohibit you from being in our communities. We will prohibit you from talking online. We will prohibit you from voicing your ideas. It is way more serious than just a minor squabble over theology. Although I wouldn't argue those are minor squabbles either. But it's way different than that. Another example. In 2013, I actually remember when this happened. Students in a class in Florida Atlantic University were instructed, as part of a class exercise, to write the word Jesus on a piece of paper and then step on it. And the student who refused and complained was charged with violating the student code and ordered not to return to class. And that would have stood had there not been a public outcry which caused the university to apologize. You know, I don't believe in Allah. I don't like Islam. I think there's a lot of problems with Islam. But I would never, in a group of people, tell Muslims to write like Allah on a piece of paper and then step on it. I have a degree of respect for people as human beings and for their right to make their decisions about what they are going to believe. And that we shouldn't belittle people and dehumanize people because of their decisions, no matter how much we disagree with them. And yet that's exactly what they were doing to Christians right here. The free speech group, by the way, the free speech group said that forbidding the lesson without getting the faculty's permission violated academic freedom. Well, what about the individual student's freedom to believe what they choose to believe and not have to literally demean their own belief system? See, this is the problem. We know what free speech is. We know what religious liberty is. We know what these things are. But there are certain groups of people that will always use that to their advantage. They will always use free speech. In fact, it's even been said that the attacks from the East come to the West and they use our freedoms against us. They use the fact that they can have free speech. They use the fact they can have freedom of religion to come in and destroy us from within. And they're very vocal about doing it. In 2014, there was a community college in Maryland denied a Christian student entry to its radiation therapy program. Why? Because the student answered that, quote, my God was the most important thing in his life. Another student was denied over having based morals on, quote, my faith. The idea, oh, don't legislate the Bible on me. Don't force me to believe in your Bible. Don't force the morality of your Bible on me. Makes no sense. What is a law? A law is a legislated morality. Whether it's based on reason, whether it's based on experience, whether it's based on scripture, whether it's based on whatever it's based on, it's legislating some form of morality. Their comment is, well, I base my morality on reason, so don't force me to obey your morality based on faith. Okay, well, what form of government would you like? We currently have a form of government where actually there's a lot of non-Christian laws in here that people have to obey so that we can live in a society together as best we can. Now, that comes to a point where when the laws go against God directly, when they really start to infringe upon things, then we don't obey the laws anymore. When the government says you can't evangelize, we say, I'm sorry, I can't follow that law. That's not a just law, and I can't follow it because I have a higher allegiance to a higher power than this federal government. I must obey God, not man. 2016, U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, and I went back and pulled this, by the way, and read this. Under Obama and Biden, religious liberty and religious freedom, according to this document, were actually code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, and Christian supremacy. In other words, they wanted to get rid of religious liberty and religious freedom. Now, my comment is this. How many Christians voted for these people? And this, they wanted to get rid of religious liberty, get rid of religious freedom. That's dangerous. And yet people continue to vote. So again, we have to understand what is actually at stake. From May 2020 to mid-2024, quote, more than 500 attacks on Catholic churches and pro-life centers across America, quote, including arson attacks which damaged or destroyed historic churches, spray painting the graffiti of satanic messages, rocks and bricks being thrown through windows, and statues destroyed, often with heads cut off. The attacks are here. They're happening all over. If you're in the medical field, you might be forced to participate in abortions, gender reassignment surgeries, and other medical services that violate your Christian convictions. You'll face litigation if you don't engage in services with same-sex weddings. Christians are fired for simply expressing unpopular beliefs. I mean, the bottom line is this. I've known for a long time. I do this YouTube channel, guys, and this is kind of an interesting thought, but the truth of the matter is this. If I wanted to go back and get a regular job, I probably could not at this point. I am so outspoken on all of these issues as a conservative Christian person, and I'm outspoken in a very public way, that I'm almost virtually unhireable at most places at this point. So, and I've known that. I knew that when I started, that that was going to be the reality, and I made that decision, and I stand by that decision. But it's a real thing. What about this one? Marley Brown and Lacey Smith, fired by Alaskan Air for criticizing proposed federal gay rights legislation. Southwest Air terminated flight attendant after criticizing flight union official for participating in a pro-abortion event. Private businesses are discriminated against Christians all the time. You get Chase Bank debanking the National Committee for Religious Freedom. You get debanking issues. I mean, that's serious, because if you can't bank, you can't do transactions of money. It's actually a real problem. Then you get this. University of Virginia law professor Douglas Laycock says this, quote, "For the first time in nearly 300 years, important forces in American society are questioning the free exercise of religion in principle, suggesting that free exercise of religion may be a bad idea, or at least a right to be minimized." But many of these attacks, remember, are enabled or supported by self-identified Christians. Let's go ahead and read Acts 5:20-29. "Didn't we strictly order you not to teach in his name? And look, you fill Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to bring this man's blood on us." Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." But the Stockholm Christian argues we must obey men rather than God. This is a serious, serious problem. So what else has happened? So trial run of this. Deplatforming churches in New York City. Let's talk. 2011. The city's Board of Education wanted to essentially ban churches from renting school facilities for worship. The Federal Appeals Court okayed the plan, and this could have shut down more than 60 churches. Now, who was silent? Most of the megachurch pastors, the ones who owned their own buildings and owned their own property. Tim Keller said nothing. A guy named Bill Devlin approached megachurch pastors. Some offered their prayers, but not public support. Tim Keller was also approached, but to no avail. And only after the Christian Post ran a story did he then finally support them. I'm not against big churches. I think there are actually many big churches. I know big churches in our area that I think are very solid churches. I know big churches across the country that are very solid. But I will say this. There are a number of these very large churches that have stood by and just let other Christians be actively persecuted, have participated in their active persecution, and people still continue to go to them, even who disagree with how they act, for a variety of reasons. And I call this feeding the beast. Stop feeding the beast. If you go to a church that actively supports the destruction of religious liberty, the destruction or persecution of other churches and other Christians, that supports anti-biblical morality, that repeatedly bends the knee to government rather than God, it doesn't really matter at that point if you have a community there. It doesn't really matter at that point if your kids enjoy their youth group. That place is not discipling you. And what you're doing by going is feeding the beast. You are feeding the very thing that is destroying others. So stop feeding the beast with your time, stop feeding the beast with your money, and stop feeding the beast with your presence. The only way to beat the beast is to starve it. Let it die. Now, in 2022, U.S. Congress enshrined same-sex marriage into federal law through the Marriage, a Respect for Marriage Act. Unfortunately, this also created a new statutory right to sue people, and it failed to provide any protection for small business owners. Essentially, what they did was they basically said same-sex marriage is the same as interracial marriage. Not true. However, there were Christians like Roy Blunt, former president of a Baptist university, who helped get this passed. And this was supported, obviously, by the liberal Protestant denominations, by the NAE, and by Christianity Today. Now, what are some things that have happened around this? Not it's actually happened before, but around this. In Oregon, Melissa and Aaron Klein, most people have heard about them, the bakery incident. A lesbian couple asked them for a cake. The Christian couple said, "I can't celebrate a ceremony that went against their Christian beliefs." State of Oregon fined them $135,000 and ordered them not to talk about their Christian beliefs. So wait a second. All of a sudden, a private business now becomes off limits for religious freedom. We have to understand that this was not a mistake, that this was real intentional actions, that these judges, these prosecutors, these people who did this, they were like, oh, we can just shut down Christian evangelism and Christianity anywhere we want. All we have to do is legislate it and hope it never gets any further. Because again, in our legal system, which is so vastly different than when it was designed in terms of how it actually operates, if you do not have enough money, you cannot win. And if you have enough money, you will never get guilty. If the bottom line is it is a rich person's game to rig in terms of our legal system. And so the clients faced death threats, vandalism, their home was broken into, and they were driven out of business. What about in Washington? Grandmother driven out of business as a florist for the same reason. I'm going to read a quote on this one. Give me one second. I'm going to get to page 180 here real quick. Wrong book. One second here. Page 180. Okay, here it is. Baron L. Stutzman said this quote, "I am a Christian, and I believe the Bible to be the word of God. That word makes it clear that God loves all people so much that he sent his son to die in their place. It also teaches that he designed marriage to be only the union of one man and one woman. I could not take the artistic talents that God himself gave me and use them to contradict and dishonor his word." Sounds reasonable to me. She faces lawsuits, quote, from both ACLU and Washington State Attorney General, and after 9 years where her rights were continually denied, she finally gave up her business in 2021. That is a travesty. Oh, the Attorney General who sued her, by the way, is a Christian. Quote, "At one point, those aligned against me suggested that I could keep my shop if I paid a fine and promised to create custom designs for same-sex ceremonies in the future." She said, "I refused because I could not betray my conscience." Interestingly enough, custom designs, I think the issue actually was that they wanted a custom design that would celebrate their homosexuality. I'm not even entirely sure that she denied necessarily doing it in general for them, like just a standard cake or something like that, so or a florist shop or something. So it's interesting, custom designs. I'm not sure, though. Don't quote me on that, but it's interesting that that's, you know, that it's like it's create custom designs. Like my question would be, I wonder if that's part of it. I don't know. I'd have to look more into it. But again, problematic. 2014, Methodist pastor Adam Hamilton in Kansas was, quote, outraged that a law would have protected people who disagree with the morality of gay marriage from being conscripted to facilitate same-sex marriages. Let's think about this for a second. You are a pastor. Here's a Methodist pastor. Methodist, by the way, completely fallen off his denomination. It's truly atrocious. The UME and basically being kicked out and all this kind of stuff due to the homosexuality issue, is outraged that a law would protect people who disagree with same gay marriage from being conscripted. That is, forced at gunpoint to conduct same-sex marriages. Conscripted? Conscripted, it's forced at gunpoint. That's literally, join the army or you're done. You're going to prison. Conscripted for same-sex marriages, that's literally, perform the same-sex marriage or go to prison. He's outraged. He argued it was a Christian's duty. Andy Stanley said the same thing and argued that it's, quote, offensive that Christians would leverage faith to support the Kansas law. Well, there's Andy Stanley's position on same-sex marriage right there. So what does religious liberty mean? Well, it actually just means you can't refuse general services, but you can't be compelled to support same-sex marriage or any other moral issue. Mike Pence also folded on religious liberty. And in 2023, 303 Creative versus Alenis, the Supreme Court upheld free speech rights of web designer, which was good. But people are still have problems. They're still, and that court case has not made it everywhere, so to speak. Now, that's one piece that I want to talk about tonight. The second piece I want to talk about is this COVID issue. So again, I'm going to mention some things in here. I am sincerely hoping that even talking about this topic does not get this video blacklisted, banned, down throttled, whatever it may. I almost was debating on, do I make this a separate video so the whole thing doesn't get kind of knocked down if I talk about this, if I talk about vaccines? I mean, you hear people on YouTube all the time not using certain words and stuff because then they get pinged for this and then they get knocked down. It may, I don't know. we're going to talk about the religious issues with this, though. And hopefully the video stays up, but we'll see. If it doesn't, I may try and refilm this again because there's a lot of good information here that we're going through. I may end up refilming it, at least the parts that I think can stay on YouTube, but I'm going to talk about it and we'll just see what happens. You know, I can't control that piece of it. That's on their end. But, well, at least for the live folk here you go. So there is a trend, and this trend has actually been going on even, I would argue, actually, even earlier. I would say this trend has been going on for at least 30 years. The author mentions it more recently, but maybe he thought it goes earlier too, but I would say this, I could see this trend going back to the 90s, which is religious liberty simply means the right to worship, and that's it. In other words, it doesn't mean you have the right to vote for immorality based on the Bible. It doesn't mean you have the right, you know, in businesses, do what you want, all that kind of stuff. It just means you can go to worship on Sunday. That's incorrect. That is not religious liberty. That's the right to assembly. But that's not the right to religious liberty. The idea then is that you can basically persecute Christians all you want for their behavior. Now, in 2020, though, we have a question. Do we even have the right to worship? Do we even have the right to assembly? Here's the issue. In America, at least on this issue, and everybody across the world is going to do different things. I mean, the bottom line is America actually got off the least worse. We were watching as people in Australia were thrown in prison. We were watching as people, like, bad, really bad. But here's the issue. In America, we saw how churches could not meet. But casinos, stores, and other things were allowed to remain open. In Nevada, churches could meet as long as they had 50 people or less, but casinos and just about everything else could operate at 50% capacity. And you know who imposed that rule? A devout Catholic, Steve Sisolak. John Roberts of the Supreme Court, also confessed, I believe, Catholic as well, Christian definitely, I think Catholic, refused to issue an injunction against this. Christians allow this stuff to happen. So here's the issue. When we talked about vaccinations, there were kind of two distinct ways of thinking. The first was, there is an untested vaccine for COVID, a couple of vaccines. We don't have all the information. We now know we were being lied to about certain parts of it. And essentially the comment was, well, if COVID hits you the wrong way, it's really bad. And a vaccine might help. And so the personal decision, scientific risks, benefits way of looking at this was every individual, every family member for themselves had to make a decision for themselves and for their children. Do we have a vaccine? Do we not? And if so, how many times and all that kind of stuff. And that's where it should have stayed. That's where it should have stayed. It should have stayed at, here's an option. Here are the risks. Here are the true risks, which we know we were never told the true risks. Here are the true risks associated with it. You've got to make that decision for yourself. Okay? Now, initially, the thought was, it's reasonable for most people who are most at risk to get vaccines. Okay? Regardless of what people think about vaccines or not, that was the thought. Also, initially, people were like, well, you have the right to say that you recommend vaccines, too. You can do that, too. But you also have the right to deny it. You also have the right to accept it. Okay. That's where it should have stayed. It should have stayed at the level of personal responsibility. It did not. Then it became vaccine mandates. You can't work if you don't take a vaccine. You can't go to school if you don't take a vaccine. Then the condemnation and guilt. You are selfish if you don't take a vaccine. You are uncaring if you don't take a vaccine. I heard people called murderers because you didn't take the vaccine. Then I heard things from Christians like, well, it's a command from God. Love your neighbor. You're not loving your neighbor if you don't get a vaccine. I love this one. This infuriates me. You're on the wrong side of history. Well, who's on the wrong side of history? I don't hear all of the people saying, oh, there were no risks at all. I don't hear them coming out and saying, well, we were actually the ones on the wrong side of history on this because we lied. I don't hear any of that kind of comment coming out. Wrong side of history. Francis Collins, many other Christian leaders, abandoned the mutual respect and the rights of conscience, and they said, no, you have to do this mandatorily. And now it comes out all over the news right now that this potentially causes higher risk of heart problems in young males. There it is. This issue is not about pro-vaccination or anti-vaccination. That is not the comment. The comment is demonizing and dehumanizing, one, the unvaccinated, demonizing and dehumanizing, demonizing and dehumanizing the unvaccinated, and also, arguably, using Christianity and politics to promote basically the destruction of individual liberty and religious freedom. So there's the problem with this stuff. There's the scary thing, throwing people in prison for this. And it's gotten just as bad. We've seen in multiple countries people being thrown in prison for tweets, for expressing ideas. You know, here's the interesting question. We're going to get into more of this kind of stuff here in just a second as we kind of get ready to wrap up here in just a little bit. Why don't people stand up for religious liberty? It's hard to stand alone. I get this. I was in a time in my life. I've shared this personal story. I'll share it now because it's a real story. It's a story of a sin. It's a story of a mistake. It's also a story of reality. You know, I was scheduled to talk about transgenderism, and I wanted to do it. I knew we had to do it. And so I said, sure. But I asked for people not to advertise it because I was like, honestly, I had a number of major, major life issues go on. I've been attacked relentlessly and repeatedly. I did not have a solid community of any kind around me at all, really any community at all at that point in my life. And I just thought to myself, if I get attacked again, I don't know if I can mentally handle it. And so I just didn't want to advertise. Now, I should have said no, advertise it completely. Blast it from the rooftops that we're doing it. Let the persecution fall as it does. But this is the reason why. It's hard to stand alone. Tim Keller, 2021 podcast for church leaders, says, quote, 10 years from now, if you have an evangelical convictions about sex and gender, you may not be able to work for a major university or for the government or for a big corporation. That is basically true. And then he says, we nurtured this, we brought it on ourselves. But he doesn't mean him. He means the Christian right. He said, they do awful things. They vilify people. In other words, Keller has a blame the victim mentality. The victim is the people on the right. Many people just think, if they just keep their heads down, persecution in America and across the world will never reach them. That's a lie. That's a lie. To everyone who is keeping their head down, I implore you, pick your head up. Get in the fight. What about throughout the West? Quote, in England, Christians are now being arrested and prosecuted merely for praying silently outside abortion clinics, end quote. Finland, and I actually saw this, and I've been following this one. Parliament member faced with repeated criminal prosecutions after sharing a tweet that, quote, questioned her church's sponsorship of an LGBTQ pride event and linked an Instagram post to the picture of Romans 1, 24 through 27. Okay. In other words, that Romans 1, 24 through 27 is it's an injunction against doing unnatural things with males and unnatural things with females, really exchanging the natural use. It's anti-homosexuality, essentially, the actions. The Finnish prosecutors compared the Bible to Hitler's Mein Kampf. That's ridiculous. Quote, this is a quote from the prosecutor, one of the prosecuted people. It is Räsänen's interpretation and opinion about the Bible verses that are criminal. Criminal. In Germany, this is another case I've been following. Christian homeschooling parents have faced ruinous fines, jail, and even lost custody of their children. Quote, some German Christians have defended Germany's criminalization of homeschooling, a policy which apparently dates back to the Nazis, end quote. Middleman says this, who's one of the people heading this up, deport this family back to Germany, quote, for the betterment of their children and a more coherent and sane expression of Christianity, end quote. He classifies homeschooling as, quote, parental indoctrination, end quote. He then says, quote, there is no human right or even possibility of parents to control what ideas a child is exposed to and needs to sort through, examine, and evaluate, end quote. He argues that homeschool parents are, quote, arrogant in their belief in the finality of their own views and practices, end quote, and also, final quote, parents do not own their children, end quote. This is scary. This is scary stuff. And who's letting it happen? Christians. In Nigeria, you have Oscar Amenachina, who says this, the persecution of Christians in Nigeria didn't start with violence. Quote, it started from marginalization, social exclusion, and persecution in their workplaces before it turned to physical attacks and mass murders, which is now the order of the day, end quote. He says the persecution continued to ratchet up because, quote, there were no strong dissenting voices that opposed the abuse of the fundamental human rights of Christians. Christians didn't even stand up for each other. Then he ends on this note. Fight for religious freedom or it won't be long before those rights disappear completely. Here's the problem. We are so divided right now on every level. And unfortunately, sometimes with good reason. But those of us who are going to stand for religious freedom, who are going to stand for God's word, who are going to stand for the gospel. And note, I've already narrowed things quite a bit there. I've already narrowed things quite a bit there. We may not all have identical theology, but if we're standing for the gospel, if we're standing for religious freedom, if we're standing for scripture as the word of God, if we've got those three things, then on these issues, we can stand together. We can defend each other. We can fight together. We may not agree on everything, but on these issues, we can stand and fight with each other and not separately and independently and alone. Quick comments from quotes. We have a similar case over here in UK. I can tell you more about it later. Oh yeah, I'd love to hear that actually. By the way, we're gonna be getting on a Zoom call here in just a minute. So anybody who's in the chat, anybody who's here, I'd love to talk. I'd love to hear more. RNA, I obey God, then man, that's, I suffer for, yeah, exactly. It's, we obey God rather than man, and we're going to suffer persecution. Yeah, that's exactly right. So this is kind of my comment about all of this, is we can't be in the dark anymore. We really couldn't be in the dark 20 years ago, but we really can't be in the dark now. And in these issues, when we have agreement on the core principles, we need to stand together, stand up for each other, stand together in truth, not bend the knee, not keep our heads in the sand anymore, not bend the knee. When the workplaces push, we have to start pushing back. Literally, I had one of my church members was getting a DEI indoctrination in her workplace, and she voiced out about it and said, you know, I don't agree with this. And guess what? They respected the opinion. They were just shocked that someone would even say anything. We have to start standing up. Confront this stuff where it is. Do not let that opportunity slide. And so with that, I'm going to actually end this with a prayer because I think in this situation, we do need a prayer. So dear Lord, I pray that we all be strengthened, we all be emboldened, we all be encouraged, and we stand together to fight the secular forces of this world that are attempting to infiltrate Christianity in the church. That when we find like-minded Christians, we can stand together, even though we may have some differences, we can stand together if it merits the possibility, for the health of the church overall. Lord, we praise you. God, we pray for the health of the church. We pray for opportunities for evangelism and discipleship. Lord, we praise your name. Amen. All right, guys, let's go ahead and open up the Zoom call, and then I'll go ahead and close it here. So give me just 1 second. Just get this crack in here real quick. It's church meetings. I need the meeting link. All right. Anybody who's here, again, it's not open yet. I have to close everything down, then I can open up the Zoom. So it'll probably say waiting room. It'll probably say, like, wait until the host opens or something, but just kind of hold on. All right, let's go ahead and I'll put this in. Boom, there it is. All right, so let me go ahead and end it tonight. Let me just make sure one thing. That was church meetings. Like, yep. Thank you guys so much for joining us here at Spirit of Truth Church. I hope this was a uplifting, encouraging message, even though there's a lot of heaviness to it. I hope that, again, this is just it's a call to get in the fight here. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful day. And hopefully we'll see some of you on soon. Okay, have a great day.